A hidden island, a prince in disguise, and a lady torn between love and duty. Coming up next, right here on The Right Stuff. You are listening to the best, the only place to be on Tuesday night. That's right, you're listening to The Right Stuff, and you're at the right place at the right time. From England to Canada, from Detroit to the Coconuts, we are showcasing Christian authors worldwide, giving you tips, tools, techniques, and resources for you, the writer, to hone and perfect your craft. Tune in every Tuesday at 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time, right here on WPJC 104.5. And your host, Parker J. Cole. Hi, and welcome to the show. You are at the right place at the right time. I'm your girl, the queen of Tuesday nights, Parker J. And thank you for joining me for this edition of The Right Stuff. We are going to have such a good time talking to my guest, co-host, and contributor today, Gloria Clover. She is going to be telling us about her new book, Washed Under the Waves, and I cannot wait to get into it. It's part of the book, it's book one of Children of the King series. It's her first foray into speculative fiction, and you know I love to do speculative fiction. It's published by By the Vine Press, and I've been working with them, with some of their authors, so I'm really, really excited to have her on the show with us today. We're going to get to it in just a few moments. Now, you know I've been working on that historical Western romance series with several other authors, George, Renee, Josephine, Barb, and so many more. We're working on that Silver Pines historical novel series that's coming out next week. March 13th, the first book is coming out. And so what I'm so excited for is to let you know, if you want to get in on all the drama going on with that, you want to join the Silver Pines Reading Group that's on Facebook. All you got to do is type in Silver Pines Reading Group, and you'll be able to join me and the other nine authors who are going to bring you great, wholesome, clean, historical Western romance series called Silver Pines. I'm really excited about that. And the first book drops next week, March 13th. I cannot wait to tell you all about it. I cannot wait to get your feedback on it and all that good stuff. So I cannot wait. So if you want to get more information about Silver Pines, join the Silver Pines Reader Group. We got a lot of good stuff going on in that group. We got games and prizes. You could interact with me and the other authors of that series. It's just going to be great. So make sure you go to Facebook and type in Silver Pines Reader Group, and you will have a chance to join in all the fun. And then the next book, the first book, drops on March 13th. Cannot wait to have your opinions and your reviews. So stay tuned for that. We're going to go ahead and take a quick short break. And when we come back, we'll be talking to Gloria Clover about her newest release. Stay tuned. Don't go anywhere. More with Parker and her guest on The Right Stuff Radio Show. We'll be right back.
If you are an author looking to gain visibility for your books, then authorshout.com is the place to go. We have a wide variety of affordable products and services to include a member zone that will help you get the word out about your books. Our team here at authorshout.com specializes in creating stunning digital products to include book banners, teaser videos, book trailers, book covers, and a whole lot more. So what are you waiting for? Stop by authorshout.com today and let our team connect you with a world of new readers.
Hi, is your book club in need of some fresh and exciting questions to ask club members and authors at your next book club meeting? Literizations, the book conversation game, is 70 thought-provoking questions to really get into an in-depth discussion about the books you and your club members are reading. These questions really get into the characters, the storyline, and into the author's head. These questions may just give you and your book club members a whole new way to get into a new conversation, a literization. Literizations is also a great set of tools for bloggers, interviewers, and authors to use a discussion question. Are you ready to get lit? Please visit our website at litversations.com, L-I-T-V-E-R, SATION.com. And please like our Facebook page at Simply Said Reading Accessories. Thank you.
We're back, and you're hanging out with the queen of Tuesday night, Parker J, and her guest, right here on The Right Stuff. Hi, and welcome back to the show. You're listening to The Right Stuff here on WPJC 104.5. I am so glad you are here with me to talk to my wonderful guest, co-host, and contributor today, Gloria Clover. She is the author of the new book that has dropped today. It is called Washed Under the Waves. It's book one of Children of the King series, available by the Vine Press. So you definitely want to stop what you're doing. Go ahead and get a copy of this book today. And I'm so excited to get into this book and get behind the veil of Gloria Clover as we talk about her news release. We're not taking questions today because this show is pre-recorded, but guess what? You can always just get your friends and family together because we're going to learn so much about this new book. And you know I love to bring you speculative fiction from all over the world. So I'm really excited to talk about this book. So without further ado, I'm going to introduce my guest co-host and contributor today, Gloria Clover. Gloria, how are you doing today?
I am doing very well. Thank you so much for inviting me to come and talk with you.
And I am so excited you took time out of your very busy schedule to be with us on the show today. I never take it lightly when we have our guests on the show. So thank you, thank you, thank you so much for being with us today. And I really want to just kind of jump right into our topic. So go ahead and tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, most recently I'm a mom. Before that I was a wife. Before that I was a writer. And before that I was a truth seeker. I'm basically a country girl from Western PA, which is how people from Pennsylvania refer to PA. I have two brothers and a sister. I'm married to a man with two brothers and three sisters. And amazingly enough, we all like each other and enjoy spending time together. I belong to an independent Christian church since I was baptized in 1991, and I love to read stories.
I like that too. I love to read stories, and it's so nice how you put yourself back, how you describe yourself. You kind of went backwards. You know, I'm a mom now. Then I was a wife. Then I was this. Then I was a truth seeker, which I think is very important because in today's society, people don't seem to want to care that something is true. So I'm really glad to see that's how you first identified yourself as a truth seeker. And then now you're a mom, and those truths that you learn along the way, you send to your children, you know? So I'm really excited to know about that. Now, what I want to do is, I'm sorry?
No, that's fine.
No, what I want to do is just really get down to your journey as a writer. So go ahead and tell us, how long have you been a writer?
Well, I knew I wanted to be a writer at age 12. And I finished my first full-length contemporary romance the summer between my junior and senior year in high school. And I finished my second book the summer between my junior and senior year of college. And then I wrote one book every year for the next 8 years. And Brianna's Pardon was published with Barber Press in their Heart Song Presents line in 1997, which was the year that I was 30.
Mm-hmm.
So a few months after that, I got married, and then I couldn't write romance for a number of years. I tried, but nothing flowed.
Okay.
And about 4 years after that, a small local press published my book that I had written before I got married, the last book that I had written before I got married, and it came out in 2001. But I had to work through a whole bunch of issues with God, and I had to lay down writing twice on the altar, and the second time that God gave it back to me, he made it very clear that writing was my spiritual act of worship to him.
Amen.
The need to be published was where we ran into trouble.
Okay.
So during that time, I wrote some romantic novellas and a cozy mystery and some Bible studies on prayer, and Barbara published one of my novellas in a compilation called Race to the Altar, and it was themed around NASCAR in 2007. Mm-hmm. So that was almost 10 years to the date of when my first novel had come out.
Wow.
So after a few more starts and stops with straight contemporary sweet romance that I always seem to make too much in some fashion, I settled on this new idea of speculative romance. And I wrote it for God as a spiritual act of worship. I didn't worry if my Christian theme was too controversial, or if I used too much scripture, or if I was too explicit in my love scenes. I just wrote it for God. And I set the series in a made-up island, which are loosely based on ancient cultures, so it didn't matter if all my facts weren't straight. And it wasn't science fiction, so I didn't have to explain the stuff that I just made up. And The Children of the King have turned out to be the longest novels that I've written, coming in around about 95,000 words.
Mm-hmm.
And e-book company in California picked up the first one in 2011. And
mm-hmm.
I went back to writing a book a year through 2014. And then, at the age of 47, after 17 years of marriage, I became pregnant with our first child.
Wow.
And I wrote 8 chapters. Yes.
Oh, my
And I wrote
God.
8 chapters of book 5. And then the writing came to a screeching halt of brain fog and fatigue. But I am blessed to report that in January of 2015, I gave birth to a healthy, whole, 6-pound, 6-ounce baby boy.
Hey, man, look at you. I want to clap. That's awesome. I love it.
So, unfortunately, baby brain nor fatigue lifted with the birth. And all I managed to write in 2015 was 26 blog posts for my American Heritage Girls troop on the characteristics of who they were in Christ. And I self-published those in 2016 with Kindle, and then I brought out a paperback edition with CreateSpace in 2017. And that book has the amazingly just who we are in Christ, A to Z, a Christian devotional. So
sounds like you've been busy.
2016, my brain started to function again. I would say from the number of things that I still forget, I know it's not 100%. But I started working on book 5 again in my Children of the King series, and I had the rough draft finished by November. And it was then that Safina McGee approached me with a business proposition. Now, our relationship had started back in 2011, and over the years, we kept some minimal contact, and she tried to help me with promoting, but I am pathetically unhelpable in that area. And the bottom line was that Steph wanted to start her own publishing press, and she wanted to start with my Children of the King series. And so she was excited to hear that I'd finished book 5, and she had a plan, and it was all good for me. So we spent 2017 re-editing, getting new covers, putting in internal maps, adding glossaries and discussion questions for 5 full-length novels, 1 short and 1 novella, and Washed Under the Waves released today.
And then love that.
Mm-hmm. We'll release a novel in a month until the newest one comes out in July.
I love that. I love that. I've read, I met her via her book because I saw her book advertised on Facebook, you know, Stefania. I met her, you know, on Facebook, and she had wrote a book called, I think it's The Whistle Walk. I believe it's The Whistle Walk.
Yes.
And I saw the book. And it was a great cover. That's what the thing I attracted was a great cover. She was an African-American woman standing next to a Caucasian lady. And I was like, oh, wow, this looks really good. Oh, my gosh, you know. And so I went ahead and picked it up. And I was at work, okay. I was at work. And I read that whole thing. And I was just at work. And I knew I had to work, but I was reading while I was at work, okay. And I just kept telling her. Oh, I loved her book. And so she's a great author, and I'm glad that she's bringing more great authors under her belt and everything. So I definitely love what she's doing. When she approached me about just doing a show with you, I'm like, heck yeah, I'm all for it. You know, love to just be part of what you're trying to do. But we showcase Christian authors worldwide, you know what I mean? And from different publishing backgrounds and stuff like that. So this is great. I love this. And I like how you told your story. You know, you've been published for a while, but the Lord has really guided your career. It's obvious that he guided your career. It may not have been what you wanted, but then when you look back on it, you go, you know what? I keep forgetting you know what you're doing, Lord.
Yes.
Well, not literally, you know, but I'm like, yeah, I know you know what you're doing, Lord. I may not know, but I know you know what you're doing. And so
You kind of touched on this a little bit when you were telling us about your publishing journey, but go ahead and expand a little bit more about how you came up with the idea for Wash Under the Way, because you said you wrote it for God. And so where did that idea kind of stem from?
Well, I wanted to practice writing better setting descriptions. Believe it or not, that's what, out of all my books, I always felt that is what lacks. But I don't like to do research. So I wanted something that was made up. So that if I described it, I couldn't be wrong. So this idea of an archipelago of Salonis came to me. And it would be a group of islands on Earth, but hidden to our 21st century eyes. So they're somewhere in the ocean. And they're spread out enough to have a variety of climates. And I set it in the unnamed future at a time when the king sent out his children to reclaim his lost lands. And I took that from Isaiah 66:19 that talks about that. And each island would be under a deception that's familiar with that particular culture. And then the deception would translate into a modern issue for the modern reader. And because it's set in the future, I could add some cool speculative elements like a medallion that takes the king's children right into his throne room. And so from the spark of that series, I worked out the rough details of the first book using a culture and a language, Roman Latin, that I was familiar with from school, so I didn't have to do any research on it. And the deception was entertainment, because Rome was known for its gladiator games and whatnot. Now, the main island's character's backstory is too involved to go into here, but the child of the king, I just figured I would write as close to perfect as I could. He's a child from the king, and I'd give him a little pride for being the first one sent out. But I didn't really give him any backstory in my pre-plotting. I came up with four plot points, and I started writing. And at the end of chapter one, Ethan, the hero, he makes a comparison of Tate's hair to the darkness of the dungeon he was born in. And I was like, whoa, what's that about?
Yeah.
And suddenly, Ethan had backstory too. So I am firmly convinced that I can only write characters to the level of spiritual maturity that I possess, though all of my characters are flawed and redeemable.
I like how you say, when you were working on your story, how you started with 4 points and you just kind of went from there. And I think that's so important, because this show is always about encouraging authors to write, and they may not have everything, because some people like to plot to the minutest detail. And I like how you said, I don't like research, and I get it. Sometimes research can be very daunting, because I write contemporary romance, you know, and it can be very daunting because you want to make sure that everything's accurate, because someone is going to call you out on it. You know, if you got this wrong, someone's going to call you out. Then you have to have a little, I'm sorry if I made a mistake, and then you got to go back and do all this other stuff, you know. And so I like how you say, you know, I don't want to do research, so I'm going to do stuff I already know, practice on making my setting descriptions better, and then create my world. And then you already offer as an offering to the king, you know, to our Lord. It's already offering to him. And so it all just works out together. And then how, even though you didn't have the backstory yet, as you start to write, it came to you. And I love that. That is so important for our authors out there who are listening. You know, go ahead and write that story, because things tend to generally come to you when you start writing. I totally believe that. What we're going to do is take a quick short break. And when we come back, we'll be talking more with Gloria Clover and her book, Washed Under the Waves. We'll be right back after these messages. Don't go anywhere. More with Parker and her guest on the Write Stuff Radio Show. We'll be right back.
Are you a reader looking for more compelling Christian fiction? Maybe something a little more edgy or a bit more real? Are you tired of most Christian fiction shying away from the truth and settling for a rose-tinted view of the world and its issues? Or are you an author who has a compelling story to tell, but you're afraid it doesn't jive with today's brand of Christian or secular fiction? Are you tired of Christian publishers telling you that your content is too edgy? Or maybe you've tried submitting your content under the radar to secular publishers, only to be told your themes are a bit too religious? We invite you to take a look at the Crossover Alliance. We are an online publishing company that specializes in edgy Christian speculative fiction. Speculative fiction with Christian themes and real-world content. Our company is formed from authors and readers just like you who are breaking into the mainstream and Christian markets with this compelling genre. Head over to the www.thecrossoveralliance.com for all the details on who we are, what we do, and what we accept. Right now, if you sign up for our email newsletter, you'll receive a free digital copy of our first short story anthology.
Check us out today and help us spread the word about the Crossover Alliance, where light shines brighter in the darkness.
Engaging the culture's imagination through speculative fiction, The Untold Podcast produces audio fiction from a Christian worldview. Find us over at untoldpodcast.com, where we partner with authors to tell science fiction, fantasy, supernatural, and horror stories. Find links at untoldpodcast.com to subscribe via iTunes, Stitcher, and a variety of other platforms. Each month we produce high-quality audio fiction that's free to download and free to listen. Our submissions are open, and we're always looking to add another great story to over 24 hours of narrative entertainment. Find all of our audio fiction over at www.untoldpodcast.com.
We're back, and you're hanging out with the queen of Tuesday night, Parker J, and her guests, right here on The Right Stuff. Hi, and welcome back to the show. You're listening to The Right Stuff here on WPJC 104.5. We are talking to Gloria Clover. Her new book, Washed Under the Waves, has dropped today. Today, guys. So this is what I want you to do. Go ahead, go to Amazon or wherever books are sold. Get your copy of Wash Under the Waves today. We've been having such a good time just talking about the backstory, behind the backstory of this book. And Gloria has been just so helpful in giving us all this information about her writing journey. You know, why did she write this story anyway? And I love talking about this stuff because you, as a fellow author or as a wannabe author, these are probably some of the thoughts you've had too. And that's what I'm really excited about here, Gloria, as we continue into our discussion about your book, Washed Under the Waves, you know. And so my next question is, what did it feel like when you finished your book? And every wannabe author wants to finish their book. So I want you to tell us what that felt like for you.
Actually, finishing the rough draft and knowing that the story is solid is the best feeling of accomplishment that I've ever experienced. It's better than signing a contract. It's better than holding a published book. I experience such a sense of rightness with every completed manuscript.
I agree with you there. I agree with you there just as a fellow author. When you write the end, you know, if I could use it in the right way, it is finished. You know what I mean? And there's no feeling of accomplishment like that, because once you're done, you can always go back and edit it. But when you're done, you're done. And I love that. And in this book, you know, Washed Under the Waves, which is available today on Amazon or wherever books are sold, this is published by By the Vine Press. What I want to ask you is, what are some of the themes that you discuss in this book? Because you mentioned earlier when we were talking, you mentioned there were a lot of things that you had in this book that you want to kind of go into. So go ahead, tell us what some of the themes that you discussed in the book.
Probably the main theme is using entertainment as an escape from pain, because
mm-hmm.
that's the island deception. And then Ethan is disguised as a tutor and instead of the prince, so he deals with trusting the king's love for him as separate from his productivity to the king. And then Tate, who's falling in love with the tutor while waiting for the prince, has to deal with putting the king first. That's why we tagged the book "A Princess Torn Between Love and Duty." But hopefully the reader will pick up other little spiritual gems as the Holy Spirit works in individual hearts along the way, but those are the main themes.
You know, it's interesting you mentioned about, you know, entertainment to kind of get rid of pain. It's kind of like we put ourselves in a blanket and we put ourselves in a bubble and we just don't want to think about it. I know I've been guilty of that myself, just as if I deal with problems and I don't want to think about it. I don't use pain or anything. I'm not cutting myself or anything like that. I know of some people I've talked to, they have done that, but no, you just kind of want to get away from pain. You just want to get away from it. And so you use entertainment to get away from it. And sometimes entertainment is not always the best thing to do. You know, you don't want to face your problems head on. So I can really appreciate you exploring that thing. I know some Christians, authors and readers alike, that's what they do to escape. You know, they use some kind of foreign entertainment to escape that pain. And some people use pain to escape it. So I totally understand you there, Gloria. I think that's a good way of looking at it and exploring that topic. And that's a difficult topic to explore, and I commend you for that. So you already kind of give us a little nuggets of this book, you know. So now I kind of want you to get, if you were to give us like the short blurb-like synopsis of this book, tell us about your new book. Because I know so many of us are going to be so intrigued and want to get this book right now. So tell us a little bit about your book.
Well, call it speculative Christian romance. So it's the first in a series. It's a standalone romance. It's a complete story. It has no cliffhanger at the end. I confess that with fear and trembling, I put the king on the page as a character whom the children of God can interact with.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the hero is the child from the king, and the heroine is the leader of a small island that, again, escapes its pain and gains in entertainment. And there's some adventure and intrigue with pirates with lasers and an island coup and a threat of a reoccurring tsunami. So
that's pretty much the book. No, but it sounds intriguing. There's a lot of elements going on here because, you know, you're in the islands, and islands are pretty much self-contained, you know, and they're pretty much self-contained.
Right.
They don't go to the mainland. Like, we use Hawaii, you know, and we use Hawaii and the mainland. You know, we're the mainland. But they have help. And when you're in, like, this system of, like, the system that you have right now, it's all you. You know what I mean?
I will add that these islands are even more independent because they aren't touched by the outside world. So once they're settled, they have few touches with the outside world. So actually, when you start reading the book, it may seem like it's set in the past rather than in the future. But then as you read along, you'll realize from the way that they talk and the things that have happened and they refer. One other thing that I will mention that I tried in each book to tie one element of nature as a motif to a characteristic of God. So in Washed Under the Waves, the waves are an issue with that reoccurring tsunami. And then being washed under the waves refers to baptism. And then also, hopefully, in the closing love scene, the wave is redeemed. So that was one part of it, too.
I love that. And I love how you're doing that because this is a critique of mine. Sometimes we kind of deify nature. We deify nature. We don't deify God. If I can use that term loosely, deify God. We deify nature as if nature is this all-encompassing God, and it's not. Nature was created by God. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
And so
yes.
I like that you're doing that because that's been a pet peeve of mine, especially with a lot of the New Age stuff sneaking into the church. There's a lot of New Age stuff sneaking in, and people tend to think that nature is perfect and pure, and nature is not perfect, not pure. Is under the curse like all of us are, you know. And so when we deify these elements that God created as if they're the ones supposed to get our help from and I help from, that I do have a pet peeve with. I'm not saying don't be concerned about nature. Don't, you know, we shouldn't, you know, for example, you shouldn't want the planet to be, you know, trashed or anything like that. But we do have to be mindful that it was created. It's a created thing. Nature is created. It's created by our Lord and Savior. It's not, you know, the Lord and Savior.
Like,
yeah. You know, and I can say that again, please.
I said, and it's passing away. We know that this world won't be forever.
And I like that. He makes it quite clear. He said, heaven and earth shall pass away. And there's a reason why he's saying that, because he's not going to keep this old stuff that's under the curse here. He's not going to keep it here, you know. And so that's another subject for another time, Gloria. I can tell we could go on that one.
Yes.
So we're going to get back to that one. Because that's a whole nother topic. Because I love that. I love that you put it under the right domain. I love that, which is under God's domain. And so, who are your favorite characters? I know as an author myself, I have my favorite characters, and I have characters that I love to hate and hate to love. So, what are some of your favorite characters?
Oh, I can't pick favorites. I don't do that. But I will tell you that my absolute favorite scene to write is a naive heroine who is unaware of her power and the sexual attraction of the hero, and with a godly man fighting temptation for all he's worth. I don't know what that says about my psyche, but I love writing those scenes.
Oh, I love romance, okay? I've read all types since I was young, and I love romance. I totally get that. I think sometimes we can sanctify the sexual attraction and romantic tension that we have. We can like sanctify it to where, you know, we act like it doesn't exist. And God created that too. And I don't think we have to exploit it, but it is there. You know what I mean? So I love that you said that because I'm very open about, you know, it's okay to show romantic tension. It's okay to show that. Even if you're a little, I'm fine with people being a little explicit. Some people aren't. You know, I understand it's a lot of it has to do with preference and stuff. But I'm on board with that because I love it when the characters show they're attracted to each other. You know, I read one book, and I'm deviating a little bit. I read one book, and it was a great book. It was fine. You know, it was fine. But this guy, he was just so in love with her personality. He was so in love with her kindness. He was so in love with everything but what she looked like. I'm like, oh, my gosh, you know, does he think she's pretty or what? You know, I mean, give me something here, you know. What are you going to say?
I was going to say, maybe he was blind.
I know, right? Because I was like, goodness. I'm sorry, Gloria, but that is a pet peeve of mine, too, because so many people, they're just, I know why, because we don't want a culture that's saturated in like 50 Shades of Grey. We don't want that kind of culture saturated. But I do think that God created these feelings inside of us. It's okay to have them in our books and reflect that. And, you know, depending on your level of preference, some people don't mind if it's a little bit heavier. Some people want it a little bit lighter. I'm fine either way. To be quite frank, I'm fine either way. But I'm fine with it. I've had authors on this show, Gloria, who have very explicit scenes in their book. And I've had authors who have just, you know, keep it very sweet and gentle. I'm fine with it, you know. So I'm glad you mentioned that, because it brings to my next part of the story. So how I know you have like beta readers or ARC readers that read your book already. So how have they responded to Wash Under the Waves?
Encouragingly, actually. Mm-hmm. I've had a lot of good responses to it. I expect to get the bashing for too much sex or too much God, but I haven't received it yet.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you probably will. You know what? And I've always tell people, you know what? Expect your critics and move on. Your critics and move on, because someone is not going to like what you write. And I know you know, Gloria, just haven't been in the business for a minute, you know, someone's not going to like what you're writing. They'll say, oh, it's too much. It's too much. Do you really have to say that? You kind of go like, yeah, you know, I did. It's my book. And I know what I'm doing with it, you know. So I love it. I love when we say that kind of stuff. And just be open and honest about this gift that God gave us. He gave us this gift. We should use it. We should definitely use the gift that he gave us. And so now I want you kind of go behind the scenes of you writing, because I want you to encourage our wannabe authors out there who are looking to write their own books. What do you do to get into that process? So that's why I'm asking you, what does your writing process look like? Go ahead and be as extensive as you want, because I really want our listeners and those wannabe authors who want to do this to come on board and maybe take some pointers from you.
Okay. We talked a little bit about this before, but writing The Children of the King has been more analytical than my earlier novels. Part of that is because of the length of the novels. I write very tight for story plotting, and I hate to rewrite, so I want to get it right the first time.
Mm-hmm.
So I figure out the island, the deception, the motif, then I figure out the characters, their internal conflicts, and then their goals. And then the goals lead into the 3 to 5 major plot points, which is the action-adventure part of the novel. But,
mm-hmm.
again, I hold that outline loose while I write. Originally, I figured that the tsunami would be the climax in Washed Under the Waves, but it didn't turn out that way.
Hmm.
So when I actually write, I type on the computer, double-spaced manuscript style. I write 20-page chapters, and I stop whenever I have to. The next day, I reread what I wrote the day before, and then I continue writing. I have critique partners that critique by chapters, and I make those changes as we go along. And somewhere, usually around chapter 9 or 10, I need to reread the entire novel to recheck my notes and get me through that middle. And I go for about 18 to 20 chapters in a book, and then the end just gushes out fast. And that's how I've been writing it.
No, that's fascinating that you have critique partners during each chapter. I would have thought you would have had critique partners after you finished a rough draft. I mean, is this a better process for you to have them after each chapter?
It is, because mm-hmm. When you do it, when you critique by chapter, you're more focused on the writing rather than the story.
Mm-hmm.
So I can get help with the writing. I mean, they will say to me things that they're wondering. You know, are you sure that this is going to work out, because they don't know where I'm going? And I'll always say, oh, I've completely forgot about that. You're absolutely right. Or, yeah, I know what I'm doing. This is going to come back and play later. You know, there'll be comments like that. But as far as actually getting the the help for correcting the writing. It works really mm-hmm. well chapter by chapter.
Oh, okay. I just I haven't heard of that before, so that's kind of unique. I think that's a good system because you're getting that constant feedback as you write the manuscript. I think that's a really good idea. So for our listeners out there, if you have someone who can help you critique chapter by chapter, go for it. I would totally go for it. Now, I think you mentioned this, but if you did, just repeat it again so our listeners can know, how long did it take for you to write not just the first book, but the whole series? How long did it take for you to write again? Because this is an important question for our newbie authors, because sometimes they say, well, it took years for me to write it, you know, and that's okay, because it took me 10 years for my first book. So I totally understand that. So go ahead, tell us.
I'm not a fast writer. It takes me about 10 months to write a rough draft. Mm-hmm. I hope to get faster, but with a 3-year-old, I don't see that happening anytime soon. The fastest that I ever wrote a novel was actually the first one that I had published, and I wrote that rough draft in 6 weeks. Hmm. And that's the fastest that I've ever done. But normally, with the stuff that I have in my life and family and church and various things, I will say that I don't have an outside-of-the-house job. Before I was married, I did. I would work. Some people might find this funny. I never was any good at when I worked outside of the home, it took up all of my energy, and I didn't have anything left for writing. So what I would do, I would take a job, and I would save my money, and then I would quit that job and write a book, and then I would find another job.
Oh, man, that sounds idyllic in its own way. You know, I'm only using you for a minute. I love it. Oh, man, I work a 9-to-5 myself, and I am the major breadwinner in the household. So I just find that hysterical. I love that, Gloria. I love that. We're talking to Gloria Culver. She is the author of Washed Under the Waves, which is dropping down today, March 6th. Well, this is what I want you to do. I want you to go ahead and get a copy of this book today. It is hot, fresh off the press. And let me tell you, just from the way it sounds, you are going to love this book. It has adventure, romance. It has spiritual truths all interwoven into a wonderful narrative that is going to keep you on the edge of your seat. So this is what I want you to do. Love on my sister today. Make sure you get a copy. And then I want you to do something else. When you get the book and you read it, let her know what you thought about it by leaving a review. Gloria, wouldn't you say the reviews are so helpful? It lets you know that you've done what you said you was going to do. And if you didn't, you want to at least know about that. And it helps you better at your writing. Wouldn't you say?
Absolutely. I am human enough that I love flattery in any form.
I hear you there. I know exactly what you mean. And so what I want to do is kind of go into some of your next projects. So what are some of your next projects coming up?
Well, book 2 in Children of the King is called The Firestarter. And it has a Greek culture with a motif of fire. And it releases in April. And then book 3, From the Frozen Depths, has an Indian culture and a motif of snow and ice, and it releases in May. And book 4, Dealing in Shadows, has an Australian culture, and the motif is light versus dark or shadows, and it releases in June. And then the 5th book, Lost in Beauty, has an Egyptian culture with a motif of the sun, and it releases in July. And I got to tell you that after a year of editing, I am ready to get into writing book 6.
Good.
And I'm planning on an Aztec culture with a volcano and human sacrifices, but I haven't worked out any details yet to talk about it.
Oh, yeah. Well, the Aztecs did have a human sacrifice. I remember when I was doing some research on the Aztecans, some years ago, they used to have it to where you could be like some kind of honored figure for like a year, and then you would voluntarily go up to this mountain and sacrifice yourself because you were treated like a god for like a year, and then you would sacrifice yourself to the god, you know. And I remember going, I don't want to be one. I was young, but That is quite all right. I don't want to be king for a year. If I'm going to be king for a year, I'd like to go back to being a peasant then, not dead, you know. So But I find that I'm glad that you're doing a lot of diversity, because there's a huge call for diversity right now, especially in Christian fiction, huge call for diversity. And so I commend you for taking up that banner too, by just having those different motifs in your story. And speculative fiction is such a great way to get different ideas out there. So I'm a huge advocate of speculative fiction, so I commend you for that as well. And what we're going to do is take a quick short break, and when we come back, we'll be finishing our conversation with Gloria Clover. Her book, Washed Under the Waves, is available today on Amazon.com or wherever books are sold. We're going to go ahead and take a quick short break. We'll be right back after these messages. Don't go anywhere. More with Parker and her guest on the Right Stuff Radio Show. We'll be right back.
The Speculative Fiction Cantina is your weekly hypodermic injection of science fiction, fantasy, horror, alternate history, and things weird and wonderful in the world of books and writers. You'll hear from writers who bend the rules and drive the narrative. We ask authors the hard questions. We do the show in our pajamas. Join S. Evan Townsend on this journey over the rainbow and through the looking glass. The Speculative Fiction Cantina on Rightstream Radio every Friday at 6 p.m. Eastern.
Have you read the latest issue of SOARMAG Digital, the award-winning literary magazine for multicultural readers and writers? SOARMAG Digital is available quarterly and showcases interviews with the best authors in multicultural literature. SOARMAG Digital features craft and business articles for those interested in writing. If you're looking for a good book, check out our book reviews on what's hot in multicultural literature. For writers looking for a new reader to get in front of, SOARMAG Digital is the perfect place to introduce your book. We offer advertising spaces that fit your promotional budget. Get your free subscription on SOARMAG.com. or order a print issue on magcloud.com. If you would like more information about SOARMAG Digital, check us out on SOARMAG.com or contact us at SOARMAG@yahoo.com. SOARMAG Digital is the magazine for multicultural readers and writers.
We're back, and you're hanging out with the queen of Tuesday night, Parker J, and her guests right here on The Right Stuff. Welcome back to our show. You're listening to The Right Stuff here on WPJC 104.5. Again, so glad you are here with me. We have been having such a wonderful time talking to my guest co-host and contributor today, Gloria Clover, and her new book, which just dropped down today, Washed Under the Waves. It is book one of the Children of the King series, and it's taken a bold stance from speculative fiction while mixing the romance, the adventure, spiritual themes. It's everything you want in Christian speculative fiction. So this is what I want you to do. Go right now and get a copy of this hot off the press book today. It is published by the Vine Press, and let me tell you, you will not be disappointed. And Gloria, once again, thank you so much for just taking time out of your schedule to be with us today to give us this book. I really admire authors who just take God's gift and use it. I just love that. You're using the gift God gave you, and you used it. One thing that you said earlier in the broadcast, that the Lord showed you that your writing was your offering to him. Can you expand on that? Because a lot of my thoughts mirror this concept. I've never heard it said it like you did, but my thoughts have mirrored this concept. And I want you to talk about that.
Well, the issue that I was having, of course, was not being published as often as I was writing. Mm-hmm. And then after I got married, and I couldn't write romance anymore, it was horrible. Mm-hmm. It was like a part of me wasn't functioning, and mm-hmm. and I you know, I wasn't doing what I was supposed to be doing, and I really wasn't doing, I was trying, but I mm-hmm. wasn't accomplishing. And so then you feel guilty because shouldn't I be doing the 9-to-5 job and doing my part, because I'm not really getting the writing mm-hmm. done that you're allowing me to do now, staying at home now that I've gotten married. And there was that guilt. And so I took it to God, and I said, you know what, if writing is not what you've called me to do, like I told you before, I felt like I should be a writer from the time I was 12. Mm-hmm. And I was like, if writing is not what you want me to do, then I'll give it up. And mm-hmm. I meant it. I don't know how I would have accomplished it, but I meant it. Mm-hmm. And he gave it back to me. I had that little unexpected publication of the novella with Barber again,
mm-hmm.
and then nothing. And mm-hmm. I got back to the same place where I was like, Lord, if this isn't what you want for me, then I will give it up. I want to be mm-hmm. doing what you want me to be doing. If that's teaching youth group, if that's, you know, whatever, of all the various and the sundry things I was doing, whatever it is, I want to be doing it, whatever it is that you want for me. And that's when he came back, and he was very clear, and he said, no, writing is the way that you worship me, Gloria.
Hmm.
It really is. What the issue is that you still think that you need all this glory from what you've written, and you need to be able to let go of that and just enjoy writing for me. And that's the struggle. That's where I sit. You know, I want to do what he wants me to do. I want him to use this new series as an outreach to people. There's a lot of underlying stuff in it that is hopefully going to be helpful to people. I mean, it's first and foremost supposed to be entertaining, but, you know, there's truth under there that will hopefully help people if they are at that place when they read it that, you know, will jump out of them. And that's kind of the sacrifice part of it, that just knowing that if you want me to be doing something else, I have to be game for that. I'm first and foremost submitted to you.
Amen. I like that, Gloria, especially when you make that point about this is for God. And I don't know if you heard of a gentleman by the name of Alan Arnold, and he talks about how creativity is something God gave everybody, not just authors, not just writers and painters and singers. The creativity is that ability to influence your atmosphere, whether you're cleaning up, whether you're a janitor. Creativity is not just an art. It's what God gives you. We all have this creative spark to change something around us. And he said, if you wrote 100,000 words and no one ever saw it but God, that was still worthy of writing it because you wrote it for him. You know, he said, and so when you mentioned that, I couldn't help but be reminded of what Alan Arnold said. He said a lot of good things. And so he talks about that. And I really feel that you are exemplifying that very simple concept that this is my offering to the Lord. This is the way I worship him. And as long as he gets the glory at the end of the day, I think that's good, you know, because I think every author struggles with that. I mean, who doesn't want their book to be, you know, NYT, USA, whatever, three-letter word, you know, recognition? Who doesn't want that? Who doesn't want their book to turn to a movie or a TV show or a play? Or who doesn't want the accolades? Oh, guess what? Gloria is the best. Who doesn't want that? And the Lord is saying, I want you to worship me. Anything else is a fringe benefit. Anything else is something he's going to give us. So as I speak to you, I'm speaking to myself too. So I really appreciate that. And I hope our listeners listening, that our authors out there, you know, as long as God gets the glory for your writing, you know, we need to be conscientious of that. And I want people to have an opportunity to connect with you. So go ahead and let us know what your social media outlets are.
Oh, my website is GloriaClover.com. And my Facebook page is Author Gloria Clover. I don't do Twitter, but you can friend me on Goodreads if you're on that and you're interested in connecting that way. And I would enjoy talking with people through Facebook or through my website. Either one is fine.
You know, Gloria, thank you so much for being with us on the show today. And in the few moments that we have left, I want you to encourage our authors out there whom God has given the gift to write to pick up the pen and do so.
Okay. Authors, God loves you. he needs people who see the world deeply, try not to make it about publishing and money or recognition. Believe God that wants to use your stories to reach people with his story. And quite frankly, that doesn't necessarily mean writing Christian fiction, and it certainly doesn't necessarily mean writing Christian nonfiction, but always write the truth. Keep your eyes on Jesus Christ, the author and perfecter of our faith, our lives, and our writing.
Gloria, thank you, thank you. Thank you for being with us on the show again today. I've been so, so blessed by your testimony, been blessed by your words, by your thoughts, and everything you share with us today. And I can't wait to have you back real soon. And congratulations on your newest book.
Thank you so much. Thank you for allowing me to share my story with you tonight. Thank you for promoting it, because, like I said, I'm not the best at that.
Thank you so much, Gloria. And we were talking today to Gloria Clover. She is the author of Wash Under the Waves. It is available today, hot off the press. So this is what I want you to do. Go ahead and get a copy of this book today. It's book one of Children of the King series. And guess what? It's going to be a nice long series. So guess what? You'll be able to come back to this world over and over and over again. I am so excited for this series. So go ahead and get a copy of Wash Under the Waves today. It is published by the Vine Press. So I'm really excited about this series. Make sure you love my sister today and get a copy of it. Make sure you leave a review. One thing I got to tell you, you know, she said something that was so important to me, and I hope that you take that with you, is that your writing, as God calls you, can be your offering to him. Now, we're not talking about not do your daily, you know, financial offering, anything like that, but the gift that he gave you, you give it back to him. And that's one thing I really, really enjoyed in our conversation with Gloria today. So if God has given you that gift to write, you have the obligation, the responsibility to use that gift and offer it back to him. Thank you so much for joining me for this edition of The Right Stuff. I'm the queen of Tuesday nights, Parker J, and you have a wonderful, absolutely glorious, blessed day. Thank you for joining us for this edition of The Right Stuff. Follow Parker online at ParkerJCole.com. To hear this show and other shows, visit the show archive at therightstuffradio.wordpress.com. We'll be back same time next week, 7 p.m. Eastern Time.